I was thrown right into the fire.
You learn a lot faster.
And he put a lot of pressure on me.
You have to.
Perfection. I've been doing this Wednesday email. I highlight a lot of your stuff on this Wednesday email. And it's called my hump day deal. It goes out every Wednesday. This guy hounded me. I think there was probably like 10 years where I never did an email right. It was, he would change any little word, whatever. You forgot this, or you need to do this better. And constantly pushing me to...
Yeah.
To do better than I thought was good, and he never accepted good. He held me to a higher standard, and now I hold that to myself. He's like ingrained it to me.
Yeah.
So when I look at an email, I'm like, this just isn't good enough. But I've been now it's easier because I've been doing it for almost 20 years
for sure.
Now, and it's fun now. But in the early stages, I dreaded Wednesdays doing the email and what am I gonna screw up this time? But it's blessed me.
Funny thing is, we talk about Brookhaven, and it's the same way, the same philosophy of Brookhaven. My right back has to be in this position at this time, every time. And when it's on,
there's no room for error.
Every time.
You all right? You crying over there?
He put it some eyes in. He's so excited.
My eyes are
he can't wait.
And then you go outside in the wind.
Shy, I'm going to be holding the mic the whole time.
Intense.
Back to me.
All right, guys, welcome. We are at the United Soccer Coaches Convention in Philadelphia. Legends in the Dallas area. Soccer Innovations
Legends.
Founders and owners. Jimmy Elder.
Hello.
Jeremy Elder.
Howdy.
Jimmy is also a national championship winning coach at Brookhaven. Yeah, go ahead and flash
that
ring.
Check this out. Look at the bling we get when you win a national title. The ring is worth a lot more than my income.
Make sure you don't take it off. I might have to snag that.
I did not get a raise for winning this, trust me, but it is nice.
So Jimmy is the original Soccer Innovations man. Jimmy, the Jimmy Ball, officially named after him.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Gold.
Yep. Oh, is that right?
Oh, I didn't
know that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I made that a little less, a little more subtle than the Jimmy Ball.
The Jimmy Ball. I love that.
But Jimmy is a catchy name. You know, it sticks with you. You know, you have the
It's got a ring.
Right?
Yeah, it's true.
It rolls
true.
Off the tongue.
You got Jimmy Riggin. You know,
exactly.
Jerry Riggin.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, are you Jimmy? Yes, I'm Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's me.
It's my ball.
As in Jimmy Ball. Yeah.
How come you didn't name the soccer wall after you?
The Jimmy wall?
You know, because in the days we had soccer walls, shooting walls. Say, hey, let's make a soccer wall. You know, training. And so that's a perfect name, soccer wall. Little did I know, it's a horrible name. The soccer wall. It's three words. And coaches don't say, go get the soccer wall out. Because it actually became a mannequin. It became more valuable as a mannequin.
Individual pieces.
Mm-hmm. So they started to say, I'd come to this convention, I'd go in the bathroom, there's a coach next to me, goes, hey, aren't you the guy that made the blue man?
The blue man?
I heard the blue man. Everybody started calling it the blue man. So it's the soccer wall, but now it wasn't a great name. Bad choice of names.
Hey, well, it's... The sales will beg to differ, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And our real company name is called the Soccer Wall Company, and we DBA.
Legally.
Do business as
Soccer Wall. Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
So that's where the mannequin comes into play in the logo.
Okay.
We are the Soccer Wall Company.
A good friend of mine in California who grew up here in Dallas coaching, he saw that I got in the business, and he wanted to get in the business, so he got a trade name called Soccer Innovations. And he goes, Jimmy, he called me one day, he says, Jimmy, this is not me, this is you. Why don't you take this name? I gave him $500 for the name Soccer Wall. So that's a hell of a lot better name than the Soccer Wall.
The Soccer Wall.
It is. I think the innovations
I like
part
it a lot,
of it has a lot of meaning
it
behind
draws, it.
It
certainly draws attention.
Yeah. For sure.
It piques people's curiosity. What are they innovating over
there?
You know, yeah.
And you literally are. You're innovating new products all the time. That's awesome.
So it's a helpful in driving people to our booth if we're here at the United Soccer Coaches Convention, and it drives people to our brand, whether you're if we're on soccer.com or BSN or just to our website. When you're scrolling down, you see Soccer Innovations, and you're a high-end coach, so you might just click on our website just because you want to see what's maybe new or what's different out
there.
It's a helpful name in that sense.
Oh, for sure.
And we've been happy to, you know, have been working with you guys for a number of years now, and been super fortunate that you guys have provided us with so much product. We've been able to test out, you know, and help you develop more or less. And so, you know, that's going to be something that we carry on forever. Definitely not going to be bringing in any other brands.
Nah.
You know, soccer innovations for life for us. It's funny that
I dig the mannequin you put on your new jersey.
I was about to mention.
Oh yeah,
you guys
yeah, yeah,
didn't
yeah.
even tell me that
yeah.
my Pam, who is the
we subtly threw that in there. Yeah.
She showed me, and I was yeah. like, man, Sean or Evan didn't even tell me. That's
oh,
awesome.
We're gonna be selling a lot of those.
That was Sean's.
Too.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
dig
yeah.
A lot. It's
yeah.
Sean,
yeah,
man.
It's cool.
So
yeah,
thank you. Publicly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're gonna have all our players training those as well. So.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Randy.
We'll be getting out a lot.
Randy Waldrum, was it two-time women's
oh yeah yeah yeah
coach and.
Butcho's
best coach for
that's Butcho's
oh,
best
yeah.
shit it means Butcho someone
man. And is the Nigerian women's national team
oh
coach.
Wow
he should be coaching in the World Cup coming up this year
oh, so.
Oh wow it's amazing
huh.
So he's stopping by our booth if you time it right you'll meet Randy Waldrum.
Might have to catch
I need
him.
To meet him man I
know, get him on the pod
I know I still need to run in. I haven't seen Butch yet either man I think I'm gonna miss my Butch window yeah
He's
if I see
guy.
Him, I might jump this. Just
he's a busy
him.
Guy. Oh, I had yeah. some questions ready for him. If you don't come and get these questions, I'm going to be a little bit irritated.
His loss, right?
But anyways,
yeah,
so
back to
obviously, we could have done this podcast in Dallas,
mm-hmm.
but we're here, so we're going to do it right here.
Oh, for
right
sure.
Now.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And props to you guys for getting in here. It's not just anybody, I think, that they just bring in here. You have to have some kind of reputation.
Yeah.
They went and researched you and saw that you do a good job. Mm-hmm. They're not going to let... You know, Joe Blow in here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We get, you know, compliments and things like that. I just know we could be doing so much more.
Yeah.
If we have, like, the manpower behind it mm-hmm. and the right people in place.
Yeah,
so why don't you guys
yeah,
start
yeah.
by just, I don't know, giving a background of how Soccer Innovations first got started and then kind of leading into when you passed it on to Jeremy.
Okay.
So back in 2003, I had an idea to build a mannequin for training instead of a speed pole. And the only things that were on the market were the big heavy metal ones, and they're $200-$300 a piece. Couldn't put them in your car, couldn't travel. And I thought, today's day and age, they pop up these tents and everything.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way. So I had a friend of mine, an engineer, and we got to work on it, and we built prototype after prototype. It got to the point where it was getting really cleaned up and really nice, and coaches started to come over and say, hey, Jimmy, where did you buy that? And when I told them it's not available for sale, it's my prototype, it's my product, they'd accuse me of lying. And I just don't want me to know where to get it.
Yeah, you're gatekeeping.
And Jeremy actually was a player at that time. He was a 17, 18-year-old player, and we had a great club team. And I would use them with these guys to learn about them, to learn about how to use a mannequin, the value of the mannequin, to be able to collapse it myself, to see if a coach could do it, and would it weigh a lot. And that's where it started. From there, I got a really good patent. I came to this USC show, which was then the National Soccer Coaches Association.
Mm-hmm.
Had a tiny booth. We were the busiest booth in the entire convention. People were coming up from Brazil and Europe, shaking my hand, saying, congratulations, you got the best product here. Mm-hmm. Sales started to roll in.
Yeah.
Working out of the house. And we worked out of the house for a long time, my wife and I, and Jeremy would get home from school, and he'd go to the warehouse,
Public
pull the
storage.
Box, load them up, put the labels on them, UPS would
yep.
come in the back alley, pick up the boxes, and off they'd go. And that's how we started it. And once we got it started, all these things came to my mind about training kids and the things we needed to help them. That product I saw at Bayern Munich was similar to the
yeah.
Jimmy Ball. It left the market. I created something that was safer than what they had. And it took off, and then I had a collapsing portable goal. We need a full-size goal. We
mm-hmm.
don't have goals everywhere. We got space, but no goals. I need something that a coach can afford, that's lightweight, it's all one piece. And so those items were born, and still are to this day. That's how we create things, is we see coaches like you guys, and we're out in the field, and we see we need something that'll help the kids develop better,
yeah.
learn faster. And that's where it all started. And from there, Jeremy graduated from college. We sent him to Switzerland for a little training for a couple of years. He came back and has been working with us ever since. And he's kind of taken the baton from me now and doing all the hard stuff, the heavy lifting, which I got tired of doing.
Oh, yeah, no.
And so now I get to sit back and watch and be creative and
mm-hmm.
think of new things and tweaks of old things
yeah.
to keep us innovative and going forward.
Nice.
That's awesome. So, what, Jeremy, what do you think were your biggest challenges, like, first taking over?
I think the largest challenges is when I transitioned into the business, the technology in the world was transitioning. So my father was the way to do it back in the day was snail mail. I mean, you sent catalogs, and that's how you got your business. And they called you, and they ordered. Well, when I came around, I got a marketing degree, and they teach you a lot about online and how to market online and the new, I guess, method, you know, like when social media first came out, I mean, it was great, but there wasn't a business purpose to it, and it's evolved to where now social media is a great, plays a big part in overall sales or representation of your business. It was the same from catalog transitioning into an e-commerce website. So my biggest challenge was I'm not a graphic designer, and I wasn't a web designer. I didn't know anything about websites, and I had to learn. And
that was the first task I gave him, is fix our website.
Yeah, for real.
So it was an uphill challenge. At that time, YouTube was not full of videos. I'm not even sure if there was YouTube at that time. So I really just had to trial and error kind of work through it. And then I realized over time, there's better platforms than what we had. We were able to afford a pawn shop DSLR camera to actually take good-looking photos for the website.
Yeah.
Things like that, merchant services, learned a lot about shipping, the cost of it, how to package it, and the logistics of it. And ultimately, now you're almost reviewed on how fast you can get a product.
Oh,
if you
sure.
get it slow, you go out there and you write a bad review. If you get it fast, the small portion of the people who do get it fast actually go and give you a review, but everybody is happy. It's more so on how you got it to them than what the product is sometimes. It's not always the case, but that's what I had to learn just on the fly, and I made a lot of mistakes.
We all do.
You know, I learned a lot from it, and it taught me how to use Photoshop, Illustrator, web platforms, which ones are good, which ones are bad, what payment services do people like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have them all because it's a lot of administration side on the finance side of different fees and having to plug that all into your software system. How to become more efficient. That was a real big gain that we made in the last 3-4 years. There was human error involved in order processing, and that slowed things down, and it allowed for the human error of a paper being lost in translation. So now everything is automated. So when you place an order, that order goes straight to the warehouse, prints out the ticket, he goes with a pick list, grabs the product, brings it over, packages it up,
and it's out of there.
You know, almost an hour, we could have your product out the door from FedEx, UPS.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a big help to minimize our costs so that we're able to put more money back into the business, into the products, so that we're not out of stock on high demand things.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, it's a challenge in supply chain.
Yeah, you gotta have it.
Making those mistakes is how you learn, it's how you improve what you're doing. And I know I've learned a lot about like y'all's business just from having conversations with you that I would have never even thought about, which is the manufacturing process and supply chain issues like you talk about. And it's like, man, there's a lot that goes into it, for sure.
Mm. Yeah, I actually opened up to you more than I really do anybody else. You probably know it better than most, but we've had some good conversations so that it helps you understand so we can work better together.
Mm.
When you know how our operation works and what are the hard things the humps to get over so that we can both win and succeed.
Yeah.
And I just want to give you a big thank you to both you guys
appreciate you
Believing in us and taking our product and making some really good content. And if you haven't seen it, you got to check out the Foodie Factory. What is it? Foodiefactory.us?
.us, yep.
Check out their website and social media, man. They make killer marketing videos. And
trying, man.
Whichever ones you did with the Bullet Ball and the PK Pro 2.
You love those. Yeah.
I mean, you guys are nailing, like, volleys in the top corner. We used to call it the six-incher, where you just hammer a ball right off 6 inches off the on a beeline.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And you guys just have a beautiful
sound. I know, those were some of our...
great music behind
them. I know, those were fun to shoot. They took a while, though, at times.
Well, listen, like, everything that we've been able to do is in large part thanks to y'all's support.
Oh, for sure,
So we've definitely appreciated you guys just as much.
Yeah. So I'd say one thing I want to know is, like, so going into college, you said you got a marketing degree.
Yeah.
Was that kind of always the plan in your mind?
No.
Not
at
all?
It was finance. So I went finance. for 3 years, and I got hurt in soccer. I had some leg issues.
Yeah.
Just when I don't think I could ever recover from them and give my full effort.
Yeah.
So I ended up having to hang up the boots. Mm-hmm. I could not. I'm just not a watcher of soccer.
No, for sure.
I have to play.
Yeah.
And it would just eat at me, and I didn't want to become depressed because I couldn't play, and I'm watching my team, and I want to help. I'm sure everybody knows that feeling when you sit on the bench and you want to be in there. It's the last 10 minutes of the game. It's a tied game. You're like, oh, I just want to be in this. The only thing that you want. So I transferred to Texas Tech, and my father talked some sense into me, like, hey, you're going to come into the business. You've learned a little bit about finance.
I wish I just stuck to finance.
It's a key part of the business, so I use a lot of the skills that I,
I got you.
Used learning at Midwestern State University. And I transferred over to Texas Tech. And I started marketing, which is a perfect combination if you're starting a small business to know finance and marketing.
Yeah.
You couldn't pick two better, because finance is economics, right? And accounting basically combined. So you're learning the economics, the accounting side. And in the business side of the marketing, you have to take your supply chain classes, your business management classes, a lot of your basic essentials needed to start a business. So I got a well-rounded education.
Yeah.
Graduating from Texas Tech.
So yeah, I just went and set you up for
it. To my father's, you know, like
the Elder Academy.
Yeah, Elder Academy, School of Hard Knocks, learning from his mistakes, seeing as a kid. I did start at 15, and I know that because Soccer Innovations was one of my first jobs after reffing soccer.
It's a good first job to have.
And it allowed me to buy my first pickup truck.
Oh, nice.
And so that's how I remember. I had just turned 16.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when we took it to Munich, and we won an award in Munich for the, it's called Brand New Award for a mannequin.
Okay.
Brand new ideas and concepts. Mm-hmm. It's a sporting convention. So we took Jeremy and a teammate to demonstrate how to bend it over the wall during the convention.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's 16.
I remember we were at Tasco one time. We were outside, and we needed sales at that time. We were down to the wire of cash flow, and we needed to perform here for all these coaches. And I go up, and I have the free kick of my life. And I bend it perfectly around
just one,
this
just
ball,
one, man.
Around the wall, and it put it in upper 90. And he goes, you know, he has the microphone. He does really well on the microphone.
That's a wrap.
And I don't even kick it again. And I was like, I don't even want to kick it again.
No, yeah,
I
yeah.
just want to walk away, mic drop, and be done with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
was when you retired, huh?
Yeah,
we had his club team. They were great, and so they did all the demos. I showed everyone how to use a mannequin, dribbling, passing, tactical, and we ended with free kicks. And I'm thinking, you guys better not butcher this.
We've been using this part of the song.
You better not butcher. So he whacks one top corner. That's a wrap. It's over. Order's right here. You wouldn't believe the people came running.
Oh, I
the
bet.
That's straight out of
came
a movie.
Yeah,
out
I bet.
A catalog. We ran out of catalogs. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what year was it when you officially passed it on to Jeremy?
I think when I started Brookhaven is when I officially stepped away and said, "You guys run it. I'll be here in case you need me."
Yeah,
that was 2015.
Okay,
because you did part time Brookhaven.
Yeah,
and with part time, you were back and forth between Soccer Innovations and Brookhaven. And once you went full time, I think that's when I fully took the wheel.
Yeah, we've kind of been training him. Because, you know, selling, marketing is one thing. Being a soccer player is one thing. But managing cash flow, debt,
Butch
loans, sales this month versus paying the bills, the
that's
light bills, insurance.
Work.
That's really, really tough.
Yeah.
And we have a spreadsheet that is not easy. They don't really teach you this stuff in college. And so I think when he learned that, it was, to me, the most valuable part. Because now he could really run the day-to-day and understand what we're looking for, what we have to have.
You'd really be surprised if you think you have $100,000 in sales for the month. So you think you have $100,000 in the bank. It's not that easy. There's a lot of people have terms over. Your credit cards, you have fees that get taken out of, and then next thing you know, you have a product, but you're like, where's the money?
Yeah.
And so that was something I wish they taught you in school, this cash flow and understanding it. So because I think that's probably the biggest downfall of businesses, is they don't know how to manage the cash flow.
So you got to have an office, you got to have insurance, got telephones, you have to have computers, websites, and product, and people you're paying before you make your first sale. And it takes a lot of sales to make up for that first month. And so it takes years, and you just really have to be really
there's just so many overhead costs that come along with running our kind of business like yours.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't easy. We had some really, really difficult years where I had to get on my hands and knees, basically, because we couldn't get a loan from the bank. And I had to go to really good friends, and that's really hard.
But
we did it. We made it happen. And when our back was pushed against the wall, something would always come through, a container out of Europe.
It's funny how that works, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been in very similar situations, and it's like when you think that you're, like, underground, something just brings you back up, you know? And you just got to keep going, keep being positive, and keep doing the work that you got to do, you know?
Yeah. Just like a little soccer player. Can't give up. Got to keep going. Keep
exactly.
Going. There's going to be setbacks, but you got to keep going. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
So let's shift gears and talk about Brookhaven a little bit more, because you've been very successful. You've won 3 national titles, right? 4? Oh, my fault.
Get it right. Get it right, Sean.
My fault.
Get it right.
We won in 2022. It was our first back-to-back.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Cool.
So obviously, when you took over, it was not like, you know, a national championship contending program. So what are, like, the things that you had to put in place to get to that level?
Well, we inherited a program that was almost a recreational program. They had never won anything, never a conference, never even competed for one, certainly not a trip to the Nationals. And so the first thing we did was we looked at the player personnel and realized this is not it.
Yeah.
So Dallas, as you know, is a hotbed for soccer. So we figured out, what are the demographics, what kind of student athlete, what kind of soccer player here in Dallas would like to go to a junior college and be a part of a great program with a great coaching staff, great training program, and a great future. That's all we had to sell, was future.
Yeah.
And so we hit the ground, and given my background in the business, soccer innovations, and my background as a player in Texas, my background as a high school coach and a club coach, I went to all my contacts and I said, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone that, for whatever reason, cannot leave home, doesn't want to leave home, the Dallas area, to go to school at 1 or 2. Maybe they're not getting the scholarship they deserve. They can't afford to go to a school that's offering a scholarship. Number 3 is a really good player. Number 4, maybe their grades aren't good enough to get in. That's what I'm looking for. You got anybody? And everybody will say something. They'll
at
say,
least one or two.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what we did, we hit all the high school games, hit all the club games. We talked to all the managers. We talked to all the coaches. We'd see a player, we'd just go talk to him. We'd go talk to him, introduce ourselves. I had a lot of talking to do, because I had to convince a really bunch of good players to come play for me, and I had nothing to show them other than a program that was poor.
Yeah.
So I had to do some real good selling. Unfortunately, we had a lot of really good players that said, hey, I believe in you, coach. Mm-hmm. I like what you're doing. I like what you're saying. I'd be going to their games. I'd be sitting there with their parents in the stands. And so the parents felt really good. We do a really good job when we bring the parents in, because the parents see us. They look at my background. They see all my pictures of Dallas Cup champions on the wall, the national team and stuff. And they have faith. And so a lot of times it's the parent that says, hey, this guy, you need to go play for this guy.
Yeah.
So we built our first team the very first year. We knocked off the local competitor who's a traditional powerhouse.
Yep.
And we went to the national tournament. We finished 3rd with a bunch of freshmen.
That was the first year.
That was our first year.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And we've been rolling ever since. We just, you know, my assistant coach, Robert Williams, is just as passionate as I am. We love success. We love to develop a team. We love to mentor these kids on and off the field. It's not easy. A lot of high school nights, Tuesday, Friday nights, weekend games, club games. It takes a lot of time. You know, we have to invest in it. And we have to get a lot of rejection, a lot of no's.
For sure.
No, I'm getting a scholarship offer here. I'm getting a scholarship offer here. We don't have scholarships to offer.
Yeah.
That's probably the most difficult part.
That's the challenging part. Fortunately, our school is very affordable. So usually they're gonna pay less, even if they got a 50%, 60% scholarship to a big school. They're going to pay less coming to us.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids want success. And once we start getting success, we can start saying, All-American would be very good for you on your resume as a young boy.
Oh, yeah.
Our kids are going on to 4-year schools on much higher scholarships than they would have gotten as a freshman player.
Yeah.
Because now they've got 2 years of championship experience. We play the NCAA Division II teams, Division III teams, AIA teams in all the preseasons. And we compete at, I would say, the middle to low NCAA Division II level with freshmen, sophomores, and they got freshmen.
Exactly.
We're a very competitive team, and that's kind of how we built it. Psychologically, we bring them in and let them know we're champions here.
walk into a championship program. Most of them have never won a championship. Almost all of them want to win a championship.
Yeah.
And we tell them, you know,
you'll remember
program.
That forever, you know?
Yep. And as we tell them, it's not going to be easy. This is what you're going to run into. A, B, C, D. These are your obstacles. This is how we push through it. At the end of the day, this is what you have. And we show them this beautiful little ring.
And you know, that's a really beautiful ring.
Jewelry?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. They will fight. They will fight for this ring.
Yeah.
I bet you wear that all season long, huh?
I love my ring because, you know, a lot of places you get a raise or bonus if you do something good.
Yeah.
In soccer, all you get is a trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was on the flight here. I shouldn't say this, but Shels Hyman was with me.
Okay.
Shels Hyman has done
trying to
everything.
Get him on, too, if you can give me his number or something.
Yeah, I can hook you up.
That'd be cool.
Shels has done everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
SMU, Eastern Illinois, MLS.
Grand Canyon, right?
The finals.
Yeah, Grand Canyon, yeah.
And there was another few guys that were coaches, college coaches,
mm-hmm.
big-time coaches. I was the only one with a championship ring. And
got to wear all four at the same time.
You know, I've learned one thing, that it's all relevant. Mm. Whether you coach rec and win a championship, whether mm-hmm. you coach club and win a national title.
It means the same.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
the same feeling.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's unbelievable.
For sure.
And these girls, I tell all my recruits when they walk in, it's that every girl that's come into our program has got a ring. Every girl that's come into our program has got one.
Oh, that's efficient, yeah.
That's amazing.
And I asked them, I said, do you know of anyone else in Texas, soccer girls, that have these rings? A&M have one?
Nope.
UT? Nope. Rice? Nope. Go down the list. Division
no
one?
One does.
Nope. Division 2? Nope. Division 3?
Nope.
Nope. NAIA? Nope. Nobody. Guess who does?
Brookhaven. That's crazy.
You want a ring? You'll have this ring the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it in perspective, mm-hmm. for sure.
That's
for
pretty, sure. Outstanding statistic, man.
Yeah, no, it really is. Like, that would sell me. I'd definitely
ring,
go.
Man.
Yeah.
That's hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sign me up, coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We paint a really pretty picture, and we work them hard, and it's a challenge for them. And that's why for my staff and I, we have to produce a champion, because if we don't, they've sacrificed so much. We've asked
yeah.
them to sacrifice so much. So there's a lot of stress on me when we go to the national tournament, because I'm thinking, well, I got them here. It's a $50,000 trip free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful trip. It's a wonderful trip. But if we don't win the ring, the championship, I've worked them so hard.
Yeah.
It's the final gift I have to give them.
Yeah.
If I give them that gift, they will remember me, the program. Mm-hmm. They'll talk about soccer the rest of their lives.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's our goal. Mm-hmm. To never disappoint. We have, unfortunately, as we always tell them, disappointment's part of it. You can't win every year.
Oh, no,
that's
can't.
Why it's so special when you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it
yeah.
is special.
Yeah.
That's why you play the game.
Yeah.
That's
the
why
game.
They play the game so freaking hard, yeah. because they know this is maybe the only chance I ever get
yeah.
to be in this national tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like how you paint the JUCO as well, because it's like a lot of people see it as like not a good option yeah. for them, or they see it as like a negative connotation
negative
with
stigma,
it type of
yeah.
thing. But I mean, even looking back, like when I was playing, like that's something that I 100% could have done as well. Obviously yeah. my path turned out differently, but you know, I mean, it definitely has its benefits, because I had teammates, or we know of players who they were really good but their grades weren't the best, and so instead of just stopping playing, they can find a home at like a JUCO under a coach yeah. like you, and then still keep the career going, and it can kind of straighten them out in a sense.
Yeah.
So
we've actually put players into the Mexican professional league. We've got girls that have gone to full rise at D2 schools. We have girls that have gone to Division I NCAA schools. So
nice.
We have some really, there's some really talented kids out there that
yeah.
go undiscovered in the club system.
Exactly.
Because of their home environment or their culture, or they can't afford to pay the club fees, or
yeah.
they haven't quite developed yet.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, boom, there they are.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So obviously you have the players for 2 years, and then like, do most of them then take that next step? Or do you see that a lot of them, like, finish their career when they're done with you?
That's a great question, because girls are so different than boys.
Yeah, that's
boys
why I
need
asked.
Sport.
Right.
We need that the testosterone.
So it's like there's only one option for boys. It's like, what's
yeah.
next? What's
They'll
next?
Do anything
yeah.
for sport, for camaraderie, for teamwork.
Yeah.
Girls aren't like that. But most of our players do want to go on and play. And most of them do go play, and if they want to go on, they're going to go somewhere and get some money, because playing for us, they're good enough.
Yeah.
Then we have some that just, they're so focused on their field of study. We have a lot of medical students, nurses, and they say, you know, Jimmy, I've had 2 years of great soccer. I've got a ring. I want to make sure I get my nursing degree, and I don't want any distractions. It's hard to get into nursing school.
Yeah.
And so we have, it's almost a 50-50 split.
It's not bad, though.
Walk away and be content and satisfied.
Yeah.
Guys, man, we hang on for dear life forever.
Yeah.
I'm still missing those college days.
Right.
Yeah, thanks. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can pass them on with either foundation to be successful at the next level or the foundation to just be successful in life, that's a win. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're really proud of that. These girls are our national team, my coaching staff, and they're our stepdaughters. We give them the absolute best advice and training we can give them because we know they're going to grow and they're going to grow fast. Our training is really good. It's very modern, very fast-paced, a lot of ball touches. And so they grow tremendously in our program. A lot of them have come from programs where they didn't have really sophisticated coaching, but they have talent. So they grow very quickly. And so most of the coaches know now, if they're coming out of Brookhaven, they're going to know how to play. They're going to know modern tactics. They're going to know hard fitness.
Be technical.
They're going to be technical players, smart players, good players.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of what you said, when you said that some of the 50-50, some go on to play and some go on to their career, I don't think they came into your freshman class thinking that way. I think you build a lot of maturity and life advice into them so that they can actually make that adult decision. Instead of just, I'm sure it'd probably be easy just to drop out. After 2 years, now you got to go and find another school or go and find another school for the career that you want, whether it's soccer or the career. That takes maturity to go and do after you already have a national championship ring. A lot of these people think that's it.
Yeah.
I've made it. Now I'm just going to go on to my career. But you've built a maturity in them that they are beyond their years of, professionalism, experience. And I can attest to that. He got me started so early in life that I'm 35 now. But I feel like I have the knowledge of a 45-year-old because I started at 15.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I got out of college, I jumped into a real position with real responsibility. Whereas, you go into the corporate world, you got 1,000 people above you.
Yeah, it's not all on you at all.
Work your way up. I mean, you're delivering mail or getting coffee or or doing all the labor side of it. And I was blessed to have the opportunity to travel the world. I've been to almost every continent and multiple times. I got business visas to go, you name it, I got it, where all the manufacturing is. And I learned other languages and how other people's lifestyles are.
Yeah.
And most people don't get to experience that until most people really see success in their mid-30s.
Probably, yeah.
To be honest, you always have people who are lawyers or doctors who kind of jump right into the scene, but majority of people aren't like that. They have to work their way into a career, and as did I, but I was thrown right into the fire.
You learn a lot faster.
And he put
that
a lot of pressure on me.
You
have
to.
Perfection, perfection, perfection. I've been doing this Wednesday email. I highlight a lot of your stuff on this Wednesday email. And it's called my hump day deal. It goes out every Wednesday. This guy hounded me. I think there was probably like 10 years where I never did an email right. He would change any little word, whatever. You forgot this, or you need to do this better, and constantly pushing me to do better than I thought was good. And he never accepted good. He held me to a higher standard. And now I hold that to myself. He's like ingrained it to me.
Yeah.
So when I look at an email, I'm like, this just isn't good enough. But I've been, now it's easier because I've been doing it for almost 20 years
for sure.
Now. 15 years. Or, give or take 17 years, and it's fun now, but in the early stages I dreaded Wednesdays doing the email and what am I gonna screw up this time. But it's blessed me for sure.
The funny thing is, we talk about Brookhaven, and it's the same way, the same philosophy of Brookhaven. My right back has to be in this position at this time every time, and when it's on,
there's
you
no
gotta
room
go
for error.
Every time. And if it's not on, you got to stay. And if you get up the field and we lose it, you got to get back. Swingers, you got heels on the chalk. Not 3 feet in, not 2 feet in. We need that extra 2 feet of space to slip that ball through. And you're not creating it unless, you know. And so it's detail after detail after detail that you see the great teams and the great players execute and perform. And that's one of God's gifts he gave me is to to be a bulldog and not let up. And a lot of coaches say, oh, she's not going to get it. I just forget it. Let's move. Let her stay inside. But I'll stop it every single time. You try and see if you can get your heels on the chalk. And so it's very tough on the players because they've never had a coach like that.
Yeah, it's so demanding. You know?
But when they get to the championship game, they're like, oh, my God, coach. Oh,
yeah, it really
thank
matters.
Thank you so much. You know, we couldn't have done it without all the details.
Yeah.
So it's part of life. It's part of your business. It's part of your development of players. It's part of your programs. It's part of our business. Mm. It's part of my Brookhaven Fellow Soccer Team.
Man, that's a great message to end this episode on, I think. Attention to detail, man.
So you're going to take over Brookhaven, too, at some point?
His passion is in coaching. My passion is in the equipment. I got you.
Yeah.
Youth better, the equipment level.
Yeah.
And today, there's so many good, experienced coaches who started so young.
Yeah.
I would be behind the eight ball trying to get
into the
coaching era. I have a lot of experience under him, being coached by him my whole life, going to all his games. But my true passion making soccer
slanging products.
Yeah. Slanging products.
Finding the problem that coaches have
and
having a solution for them.
Nice. Hell yeah.
It's the ultimate win for me.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you guys for having us. So you've done a great job with Footy Factory in Dallas and a lot of young kids. They're very lucky to have you as an organization.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. Thanks to you guys again. Like obviously, like I said before, you know, y'all's support has helped us out a lot. Definitely going to be Soccer Innovations for Life, and if you guys are listening and need equipment, there's no better company to work with than Soccer Innovations. You're going to find anything you need.
Everything.
It's going to be good, high quality, get good customer service, especially if you're in Dallas and you're local.
Yeah.
That's a big benefit for us
Just pop on in.
So, yeah, appreciate you guys coming on and looking forward to stopping by your booth here pretty I guess it's in a couple hours, right?
Yeah.
Tonight.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, so
I heard something about beer as well. Is that true?
Free beer, baby. Free beer.
If there's beer, I'll be there for sure.
Yeah, man. Run on fumes. It's going to get me back.
Yes. Probably need to get some food before then.
That's fair.
Could be dangerous.
Yeah, that's true.
But hey, appreciate you guys.
All right.
Thanks
guys.
A lot.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it, as always.
Thank you.
Doing good stuff, man.